message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
There is no fear of what tomorrow holds. Because he lives and I live in him. Therefore, concerning my tomorrow, God has gone ahead. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. I am in between. So he has gone ahead. He has leveled the mountain. He has smoothed the rough places. He has straightened the crooked ways. He has raised the valleys. Even in the desert, he has brought me forth water. Even in the islands, he has raised me provisions. I am blessed. I wash my feet in butter. I ride upon my high places. The Lord is my flight. On his wings, I fly. I fly. I'm a Superman. I'm a Superman. I walk miracles. I perform miracles. I move mountains. Because I have power. I have power. I have power. I am strengthened with power, with dunamis, with might, by God's Spirit in my inner man. The eyes of my understanding is enlightened. In the name of Jesus, I am filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In the name of Jesus, money cometh to me. Money cometh to me. Said he, say money cometh. Say money cometh. Say health cometh. Say health cometh. Say influence. Kingdom influence cometh. In the name of Jesus, I am blessed. I'm a blessed man. Riches and wealth are in my house. I'm in my house. I'm in my house. I'm in my house. I'm a distributor. I'm blessed. Give the Lord a shout. Glory to God. You can be seated. How many of you, as we were talking, the word came alive? You see, that's the way. That's the way to bring God's word alive. Quit reading the Bible and nodding your head like lizard. You are reading Psalm 3 and you are nodding your head. What kind of nodding is that? How can you be reading Psalm 3 and you are nodding your head? You are believing God for protection and you are nodding your head. Psalm 24, you are nodding your head. What's that? Didn't you hear that the psalmist himself said it in Psalm 91? You are reading Psalm 91. God is my fortress and you are nodding your head. When the person who wrote it himself, he said it in verse 2. He says, I will say of the Lord, he's my fortress. It's something you have to say, not something you have to read and cram. Hebrews 13 verse 5, he has said. Verse 6, why? So that we can boldly say. Not so that we can boldly cram. You must talk it. Affirmation, it means to speak in consonance with what God has said. You create your own experiences with your words. Your mouth was not given you to swallow Hamala alone. Or to visit Yamala. I visit there anyway. You need to pay me for this advertisement. He's not there to go and be, you know. No, that's not the only reason why your mouth. There are people who are eating without eating. In case you don't know, people who receive extra special drip in the hospital. Don't forget, they inject dextrose, all those things into their drip that they take. They are eating. Even if you don't eat, you are still eating because your body tissues are breaking down. They are entering what we call, it will break the body tissues. That's why when you are fasting, there are some systems in your body, reactions in your body, they call them involuntary actions, like heartbeat. They need energy. So even if you don't eat, you are still eating because your body tissues will break down. Then they will run into what we call Krebs cycle to provide energy for the body to work. And those that are in hospital who don't eat physically, they are eating through drip. So that tells you your mouth is not only for eating. You talk. Talk. I'm an introvert. No, you are a child of God. And your father is a talker. In Genesis 1, we saw him talking. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon the face of the deep. And God said, 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 and God said. And in verse 30, and God saw. He said, he saw all he has been saying. That means if you keep saying it, if you don't stop talking it, if you keep saying it, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word. Acts 19 verse 20, and it what? And it prevailed. If it prevailed in Ephesus, it can prevail in your life. You can talk the word of healing so much that sickness can't stay. You can talk the word of God on prosperity so much that you can't think lack. You can't think insufficiency. You can't have low self-esteem. You're going to be bold as a lion. You can talk that way. You can, you see, let me tell you, the bag of air you carry around yourself are the product of the things you say. If you talk fear, defeat, the Bible is in the book of, give it to me. This is not my teaching, but give it to me. Proverbs 6 verse 3. Proverbs 6 verse 1. Give it to me quickly. Let me show them something quickly. I've not started teaching, but the Spirit of God just led me to talk around this. You know. He says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, verse 2, thou hast snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. The word taken, thou art taken captive with the words of your mouth. That means you are ensnared by your own words. Proverbs 18 verse 20 says, life and death are what? In the power of the devil, in the power of your tongue. Verse 21 now says, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that means, of the increase of your lips will your belly be filled with. No wonder Jesus in Mark 11, 23, he says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and you will not doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things you said are so. He says, you will have whatsoever you say. Whatsoever you say. Many of you, listen, let me tell you, the way to fight witchcraft is what that girl that shared testimony. I'm not sure were there when they share testimony. That's why I don't miss testimonies. That's how to fight witchcraft. I can do 2 Sundays teaching on that. That's how to fight witchcraft. That was what Elijah did not know how to do that made him end his ministry. Elijah ended his ministry for not knowing how to do what that girl that shared testimony trained that school girl on. It's what Elijah lacked. The Bible says that, and when, you know, they came to Elijah and said, Jezebel said, the way you keep 490 prophet of Baal, the Jezebel said, cause be unto me if I not do the same thing to you. The Bible says, and Elijah saw it. He didn't hear it though, he saw it. There is a way, have you been talking to somebody? And then the person is saying, I don't understand. And you keep talking. And the person say, I see. You're supposed to say, I heard now. But now, what you are saying has formed a mental picture. See, you can talk something so much until you are seeing it. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So they spoke a word of threat to Elijah, and he saw it. And guess what? The guy ran for his life. A man that just killed 490 prophet of Baal, running for 1 year woman, he ran away. And he went to say, God, end my ministry today. See, I'm not better than my fathers. He was entering into depression. And God says, okay, since I'm begging you and you don't want to, okay, go back. Go and anoint Elisha. Anoint Jehu, so that one will be in your stead. That was how he ended his ministry. Some of you, all right, you are walking on your road, and then you start hearing some thoughts like, you'll die. See, you can never be anything. And you're trying to fight the thought with thought. What kind of thought is this? You are doing like this, that's not how to fight. Bringing down every imagination. How do you bring it? Listen, words are powerful than thoughts. That's why you can be playing the music. After you put off the music is still playing in your head. Why? Because your mind is at the mercy of sound. Your mind is at the mercy of words. Learn to talk. Cultivate the habit of talking. Wake up in the morning and just talk. Let your mouth move. Talk. Be a talker. I've been saying it. I'm going to preach to the whole world. Ah, the world's going to hear me. But I'm in Kefi, but guess what? They're going to hear me in Dallas. They're going to hear me in Morocco. I'm going to talk it and talk it. They're going to hear me in Zimbabwe. They're going to hear me in Sambisa. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Everywhere. Everywhere. Because when I said Dallas, you said amen. When I said Sambisa, you said everywhere. Somebody say everywhere.
Everywhere.
I've been saying it, and it's going to be so.
You just write it down. You'll see. I'm saying it will happen. Because God never fails. His word never fails. So learn to talk. Tell the person, you say, learn to talk. Help me preach today. Say, learn to talk. Say, you say, learn to talk. Hallelujah forevermore. All right. Were you blessed by that short charge? It was not in my plan, but did it bless somebody? All right, so let's open our Bibles to the book of what? Lamentations. Thank you. This man, Hodogu, now go there. He already put it for me on the screen. Praise God. All right. Lamentations 3. I want us to read together, then we'll pray, then we'll go into this teaching quickly. It's a brief teaching. How many of you were in full service? Okay, just very few of you. Please get full service message. Message is loaded. Amen. Amen. All right. Lamentations 3:27, everybody. 3, 2, go. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you and we honor your word. We receive a word today with meekness of heart, and we declare the truth we're going to hear today. We're going to bear them in heart, and we're going to receive instructions. Our journals are beside us right now. And we have opened our heart. The channels of our spirit are open to receive instructions. And we follow through and become all that you want us to become. In Jesus' name we pray. Alright, so 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now the word instruction there is from the Greek word paideia. Paideia in Greek means tutelage or tutorage. That means you cannot approach the word of God and be left indifferent. God's word is going to give you a pattern to follow. It's going to give you a form to imitate. It's going to give you a mode to be conformed into. You cannot approach the word of God and have your own opinion. There is no such thing as I stand like this, you can stand like this, we can sit in different ways. That scripture means this to me. No, it means one thing. You're going to approach God's word like that, study the word of God. It's going to give you instructions to follow. An instruction is your life. So we've been speaking on responsibility of freedom. This is part 6. Oh, you need to get all those parts and listen to them. We've spoken beautiful things about how that the price you pay for freedom is responsibility. The moment you are free, a lot of people think freedom is, you know, liberty to do what you like. But no, freedom demands responsibility. Because now when you were under bondage, you were guided by the dictate of external forces. Now you have to be guided by the dictate of principles. Inward principles. So it demands responsibility from you. Glory to God forevermore. And I've told you, I told them in first service that don't have itchy ears for teachings. I'm your pastor. And I know what you need per time. Don't have itchy ears. There are some people, what they just want to hear is Christ, Christ, is Christ, Christ. Yes, it's Christ. But listen, pay attention. That Christ did not only affect your spirit. The impact of Christ must be felt in your finances. Are you listening to me? Don't believe that gospel that tells you what God came to do in your life alone is salvation. What God came to do in your life is salvation, and that salvation is meant to influence every sphere of your life. Let me give you an example. Without salvation, you can't have the Holy Spirit. Come on, talk to me. Ephesians 1:13. After ye heard the gospel of your salvation, and you were what? Sealed with the Spirit of promise. So you received the Holy Ghost at salvation. Now, can the Holy Spirit tell you not to do business with a fraudster, and you won't lose your money? Does that affect your business? I remember one time like that, 2018. Let me mention his name, sir. Pastor Paul came to meet me. Pastor, there's one, this thing, people are making money in that thing. I said, what is it? He said, I don't know, but he now mentioned the guy I know too in Lagos. The Lord said to me, he said, son, tell him that thing. The Spirit of God spoke with him. He says, don't do that thing. He said, Pastor, people, the money is just triple. You pay now, then to triple, they will just... He wanted to go and pack up his money. I said, thank God he listens to me as his pastor. I says, don't, Pastor Paul, don't. He was not a pastor then. I said, Brother Paul, who is your pastor? I say, it's you now. Pastor, it's you. You're my pastor. I said, if I'm your pastor, don't put your money there. He said, but people are making it. I said, don't. The Spirit of God just told me no. No matter I said the Spirit of God, he said, the Spirit of God says, no problem. 2 weeks later, that was when we heard that the name is MMM. Do you see that? So by the Spirit. Now, has that affected my finances? Come on, talk to me. A little friend of mine, was telling me about somebody who woke up one morning and the Spirit of God told him that was around that time dollar was around 2 something, not even to 300. God and he said, go and sell all your naira to dollar. And the guy went to change all the money. I think 3 months later, that was when Nigeria entered recession. So that was 2017. That dollar just increased. So he preserved the value of his money. And I was able to now do business with it. I'm talking of millions. The same person I'm talking about right now, if I'm correct or not, I think that person now has, you know, joined hand with somebody to start a microfinance bank. Somebody's the Holy Spirit. So he's the benefit of salvation. So salvation is not just for your salvation. It is meant to influence your body, your mind. The theology of salvation, soteriology, must affect your charismatic theology, must affect your theology about money, your relationship with money, your relationship with people, everything about you. So don't have itchy ears, because it is normal that in churches, people are going to have their own bias for some kind of teachings. If you're teaching on, you know, the gospel, some people say, not the gospel. If you're teaching on prayer, now what I want you to do that prayer, let's pray. You know, and some people are talking about what you are teaching now, you know, responsibility, you know, leadership. Some people are like, it's boring. What do you mean it's boring? You must eat everything on the table. This is a 7-course meal, bro. You're going to eat the dessert. You're going to eat the granola, the appetizer. You're going to, come on, talk to me. Everything is for your good. Praise God forevermore. So in first service, I began by talking about divine assignments. How that, you see, when we talk about purpose, it is not mystical as many suppose. Purpose is a very simple concept in Scripture. And you see, like I said, you have been saved. The Spirit of God is in you. God has invested in you. Now the onus is on you now to fulfill or to bring out the physical equivalent of the spiritual deposit he put in you. That's responsibility. That's fulfilling God's assignment for your life. That's purpose. And purpose is not mystical as many suppose it is. We all have one purpose. That's why you've read so many books on purpose. See, let me tell you. I'm sorry, I need to say this. If you have me as your pastor, you have a gift. Can I tell you why? See, the person standing before you right now, by the grace of God, I've read hundreds, nearly 1,000 number of books. And I can tell you, there are many books out there in the world, they are junks. Even the most celebrated books, I don't want to mention names, because I don't want to throw shit on any publisher or any author. Some books you read on purpose, you get more confused. They can't separate some. See, most of them can't separate career from assignment and purpose. I'm telling you. So you get more confused. So pay attention. And the problem with our generation is we don't like simple things. We like complex things. But God is a simple God. Can I have a big amen to that?
Yes.
Purpose is simple. Simple question. Phone. Does phone has two purposes? Talk to me. All phones all over the world has one purpose primarily. For what? There is one creator. He has one purpose for all mankind. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 5 tells us. Let's look at it. He says, having predestinated, see, don't allow King James bamboozle you. All right, pre there is a prefix. I don't know if you know prefix in English. All right, then the ed, dated, that nated, that suffix, right? The real operative word there is what? Destiny. Say, oh God, come and change my destiny today. How many times do you want to change your destiny? See, when you got born again, your destiny changed once. From the natural course of destiny to the supernatural course of destiny. Destiny means destination, where you dey go. You dey go hell before. When you receive Christ, you are now in your destiny. That's why you are keep, you know. So, this is his predestination for you. Having predestinated us unto the what? Adoption of children, adoption of sons. So God's predestination for all mankind is what? Adoption into sonship. Adoption here in Greek does not mean adoption in our nowadays parlance use of the word adoption. You know adoption nowadays use, right? When somebody is not your child, you adopt him. Adoption here means placement into sonship. We were not born as sons of God naturally. So God's destiny for every humankind, all human beings, is that they should be adopted into sonship. They should become children of God. They should become members of the body of Christ. That's God's purpose for all mankind. We all have one purpose. Romans 8:29. In the mouth of two or three, everyone shall be established. Let me give you another one. Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Media. Thank you. He says, for whom he did foreknow. So he foreknew you. The operative word here is no. For here is a prefix. It means for, ahead of time, before time began. You are not a product of time. You were assembled in eternity. You were created in eternity. Time is God's way of just measuring how productive you are with the investment he put in you. God doesn't live in time. He locked you in time to measure, that's why we call it lifetime, to measure how productive your life was. And I told you last week, I said, you see, life is not in duration, but in donation. Not in how long, but how well did you live? Did you fulfill the purpose for which you were created? So for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinates. Now, to be conformed. Conform here is not a gradual conformation. The Greek word is sophomos, not metamorphosis. It's not metamorphosis. It is sophomos. It means instant change. So he's talking about salvation. The context to tell us is salvation. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And what was his predestination? That to be conformed what? To the icon of the Son of God. So his destination for every mankind is that we should be what? We should become the sons of God. So when you got born again, you have arrived at your destiny. You have become a member of the body of Christ. Now, when you became a member now, you now have a specific assignment in the body to help the body fulfill its purpose, which is, again, to do what? To bring more men into the kingdom. God has one will. And if you want to know if you are in the will of God, it's simple. All those English and grammar, don't let anybody bamboozle you. Are you in the will of God? It's not hard. It's not hard to know. On a general scale, not in specifics now, on a general scale, you will measure if you are in the will of God by asking yourself simple question. The things I am doing daily, how are they supporting the will of God? What is the will of God? The cardinal will of God for mankind is to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So I can dress in line with the will of God. For example, I can't be a lady, my four buttons are out, my nipple is showing. I'm not in the will of God. I'm in the will of the devil. The genes I'm talking about. It's not hard. When I check my monthly expenditure, I can tell if I'm in the will of God. Whether materialism is already eating me up or I'm in the will of God. If I'm spending 100K per month and 60K goes into wardrobe, bags, shoes, Gucci, and then 20K goes into paints, massacres. Mascara. All right, and then 10K goes into food. Then on Sunday, I'm looking for 20 naira somewhere that I'll squeeze inside. You are a sinner. I'm not born again. We are not in the will of God. It's simple. So he says, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be what? The firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus becomes the firstborn among many brethren. So we are all brethren. We are members in particular. So, but we have different specific assignments. In the body now, I am a pastor. You can be in media. You can be in help ministry, music. We are all different members, but we are all doing the same thing for the furtherance of the corporate benefit of the body. Can I be amen? Amen. Is purpose simplified now?
Yes, sir.
So let me just go quickly into today's point. Go to Colossians 4. Because we're talking about assignments. Divine assignments. That's what I want to narrow it to today. By the way, let me tell you what I want to teach you today in this second service is an extract from course 1 of School of Ministry. It's an extract. Just an extract. Praise God. I don't know if you have done School of Ministry. Let me see your answer. Okay. All right. Now, let's go there. Colossians 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou what? See, you are the one that will fulfill the ministry." So he's writing to Archippus. He says, take heed. And when we talk about ministry, it will amaze you. You know, theologians told us that actually Archippus was a son to Philemon, the husband of Apphia. So they have what we call today as home cell. Bible calls it church. So the ministry that Paul, by the Spirit, was telling Archippus to pay attention to was home cell. So the guy was a home cell leader, and he was called a pastor. So because when we're talking about ministry, we're talking about divine assignments. Don't get spooky. It could be you are HOD and AHOD of a department. That's your ministry. Fulfill it. That's what is happening here. Let me show you that. All right. Go to the book of Philemon. Somebody say Philemon. Anyone? I don't know. That Philemon came to my mouth ever since. The first time I heard it from Brackett Moore. He called it Philemon. So since then, it has been in my mouth. Let me show you that. Open to Philemon 1. I'm not too sure if I have it here in my notes. Philemon 1 and verse 2. Are you there? Come on. We have so much to cover this morning. Speed on your leg. You bear fruit in season. You are blessed. Okay. All right. Philemon. He says, "And to beloved Apphia." That's a woman's name anyway. "And Archippus, our fellow servant. And to the church in thy house." He's writing to Philemon. "Grace to you." Go to verse 3. Verse 1. He says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." Come on, let's go. Verse 2. "And to our beloved Apphia." So, theologians know that Apphia is Philemon's wife. "And to Archippus." Archippus is their son. So, he calls him a fellow soldier. "And towards the church in Philemon's house." So theologians told us that, historians told us that actually, Archippus was the pastor over the church in his dad's house. So the church, dad is the senior pastor. He was a resident pastor. What we call home cell today. And yet, God considered it so much a big ministry that the Spirit of God, don't forget, only men of old spake as they were what? Moved by the Spirit. Paul did not think this statement up in his mouth. It was the Spirit of God that inspired him to say this. And yet, the Spirit of God considered it necessary to tell Paul that he should tell Archippus, that Archippus should take his ministry seriously. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. So we all have certain divine assignment, and responsibility is on you to find, follow, and fulfill God's will, God's purpose, God's divine assignment for your life. Assignment is that specific things you do in the body to help the body fulfill its purpose. We all have one purpose, to have more men saved and established in the church. So we all have different assignments in the body that helps us to fulfill that generic purpose of the body. Is that simple enough? So it's your responsibility. So let's start. I want to just give you some simple definition of divine assignment. You can also call it the call of God. It's the same English word, the call of God, divine assignment. It's the same thing. Number one, the call of God is a divine beckoning to first and foremost come and fellowship with God, to learn of Him and be taught by Him. Why? That ministry might be done. So I'll give you a scripture in the book of Mark 3. Mark 3 verse 13. So the call of God is first unto Himself. Ministry, the call of God, your divine assignment is first unto God before to people. Because when we're talking about doing ministry, you are doing ministry means you are representing God to people. So you must first come unto that God. It's first a call unto God. In the book of Mark 3 verse 13, the Bible says, "And he went up unto the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him." Verse 14. "Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach." So he first called them. They came for what purpose? First, that they might be with him, so that he what? He might send them forth to preach. And when they went to preach, they saw power. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. He says, "And to have what? Power to heal sickness and to cast out devils." Can you see that? He called them. They came to first be with him. Then he sent them out. And as they went, power was made manifest. Number two, the call of God is the unveiling of God's eternal plan or will for you, with the intent of bringing you into it, that you might fulfill it. All this, and God gave me a dream. I had a dream one time when I was young that I was preaching to people. He showed you to bring you into it so that you might fulfill it. Stop playing with your time. Last week, I spoke about youthfulness and usefulness. Be youthful and useful. It's the unveiling of God's eternal plan with the intent of bringing you into it that you might fulfill it. In Jeremiah 1 verse 4, Jeremiah 1 verse 4, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me." Then the word of the Lord came unto me. Can you see how the word of the Lord, how divine calling comes, how divine assignment comes to us? It comes to him by the word of the Lord, saying, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee." See, before your parents knew you or even thought of a name to give you, God already knew you. You are not a speck of dust. You are not a product of biological accident. You are not. Forget all those biologists who told us 2 million sperms were trying to swim around the one egg. The only one made it. Biologically true, but it doesn't. So they are, what they're trying to tell you is that you are 1 over 2 million. So you are. That means if you divide that, that's 0.00000. So they are making you see how infinitesimal you are in value with respect to the universe. Wrong. Before you were formed in your mother's womb. The reason why those other sperm did not make it to the egg is because it's not them. Now you. You don't get the point.
Yes, sir.
You are not a speck of dust. You are not a product of happenstance. Yes, even if your parents gave birth to you out of wedlock, you are still... Solomon was given birth to out of wedlock. He still became a king.
Yes, sir.
Jephthah is a son of Alot. Yet, when they drove him out of his father's house, when he became useful, they brought him back. He became king over them, ruler over them in the old kingdom.
Yeah.
So your past does not have the power to put your back on the ground.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? You are not a speck of dust. You are a special being. Stop saying, "This is my nose. I wish it was like this." Shut the trap. You are good like that. Can you shout in here, somebody?
Yeah.
You're not a speck of dust. You are a special somebody. You are not somebody's ex. You drip glory.
Yeah.
You are beauty. Shout amen, somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody said, in this world, everybody is somebody's ex. So we are all ex-men and ex-women. All right, verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee." Hey, kambroske yadaha. I set you apart. Before you came into your mother's womb, I already set you apart. I have ordained you. Listen, before you were ordained physically, there's a preordination. There was already a ceremony of ordination before you became a conscious being. But look at the guy's statement in verse 6. God has ordained him as a prophet before the foundation of the world. But look at his response in verse 6. "Then said I," ha! This guy is a Yoruba man. You know I'm Yoruba too. He said, "Ah, Lord God, Babao, ah, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Who told you? Let me tell you something. See, when you find out what God has called you to do, All the necessary abilities to fulfill it is already in you. And look at how God responds. God said unto him, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Number three, the call of God is the discovery of the assignment with which God has given a commensurate faith to execute. So, like what I just said earlier, when God gives your divine assignment, God is going to give you the commensurate faith to fulfill it. There are some people overhype themselves. Alright? God is going to give you the commensurate faith to fulfill it. Don't underestimate and don't overestimate yourself. Hallelujah. So in Romans 12, he says, for I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly. He didn't say you should not speak of yourself or think of yourself highly. He says, don't think of yourself, Romans 12, 3, don't think of yourself how? More highly than you ought to. If you are a Sunday school teacher, don't think that you are a pastor. You can be a teacher and not a pastor. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Some people will have done well as an evangelist until they began to be a prophet apostle. Don't step into the office God never called you into. If the leg starts claiming that it is the hand, that's the problem. Hallelujah. So he has given a commensurate faith. If you go there, let me just jump because of time. You know, verse 6, he says, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Can you see that? He that teacheth on teaching. Verse 8. He that exhorted on the exhortation. He said you should wait on your calling. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9. He now says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Let's go to verse 11 quickly. Okay, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. Verse 11. Not slothful in business. He calls it business. God's assignment is business. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. See, Bible study, it's still Bible study. Sunday class today, it's Sunday class anyway. Church second service today is school of ministry. I thought it's an extract. People who are in school of ministry know that they have material for this. Amen. I'm just blessing you as the Lord wants me to. So let me just skip some things. Let me tell you a few things you should know about the call of God in your life. Few things you should know. I'll just pinpoint a few, then we close. Then I will lead us in a prayer in the book of Colossians. Then we are going to pray. Agbadra for like 2 or 3 minutes. Fervent prayer from Colossians 1. Amen. Something is bursting forth today. Amen. I say something is bursting forth today. Amen. Every hidden treasure is finding its expression today. Amen. I'm quickening callings, quickening graces, quickening anointing. Every dormant grace is coming back alive today. Amen. By the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Number one thing I want you to know about the call of God is, the call of God is without repentance. God is not going to change his mind on you. It is irrevocable. Romans 11, 29, it says, the giftings and the callings of God are without repentance. Without repentance. God is not going to repent. So give diligence. See, you don't have all the time to fulfill God's calling. That's why he put us in time. You don't have all the time. You have limited time. When I see the assignment God gave me, I'm like, God, God has to help me. You don't have all the time. And I've told you, I used to say it, I would love to die. Me, I've already decided that this is the way I will die. I'm going to die. I'm going to do my 90th birthday. I'm not sure I've seen Coming to America Part 2. That's where I want to die. I'll just call everybody, do my 90th birthday, and I'll sit down.
Zamunda. I will just sit down. I'll do world broadcast. And I'll just say, happy birthday. 90th. I'll just say, Baba. I'll just drop my head. Good night. Praise God. Somebody say, I want to be 120. Now you sabi. 90, don't do me. This world is not my own. And that's like almost some 50-something years to come. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So you don't have all the time. You don't have all the time. Number two, your divine assignment is not based on our credentials in the flesh. It is not based on, look, can you hear what Jeremiah is saying? I am small. I am young. I cannot speak. I am single. Let me tell you this for you single people. Listen, you don't have to be married to start following God's plan for your life.
Yeah.
I know great men who are single and they are doing great things for the Lord. I am one of them.
Yes,
notice I said single. I didn't say searching. All right? Praise God forevermore. I have to say that one. So I know single people doing God's will for their life. Paul was single. Jesus was single. And they fulfilled their purpose. There's a man I love so much, one Lagos Word of Faith preacher, Pastor Kwoju. Of course, he's married now, but for many years he was single doing great things for God. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. 1 Corinthians 1, everybody. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. 26. It says, for ye see your calling. Can you see that? Can we all read verse 26 together? 3, 2, go. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Not many wise. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1, quickly. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had what? Enabled me, for that he counted me what? Faithful, putting me what? Verse 13. He says, he put me in ministry, me who was before what? A blasphemer. And a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained what? Mercy, because I did ignorant in all belief. Verse 14. It now says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding what? Abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So it's not based on your credential. It's not based. God does not look on. God does not consult your past before he made you what you should be in the future. Number three. God's call is always unto honor and increase. Quit this wrong thinking that fulfilling God's call for your life is going to make you poor, is going to debase you, you're going to become a debased human being. No! There is joy.
Yeah.
There is this inner fulfillment. You have to get this tape, Satisfaction, on our Telegram.
Yes.
There is inner joy. See, let me tell you something today. Look up. Look up. See. There is joy in doing the will of God. The day I resigned from my job, that day, I don't know how to explain it. It looked like something heavy. A weight just left my chest. All the time I was working, I was not happy. For information, you guys don't, I can say this out, I don't care. I was earning 207,000. That was the last pay I had. But that morning, on Monday morning, my boss in Lagos called. He says, are you sure about this? Elijah, you are not up to 1 year yet. Can't you just even complete 1 year? I said, I'm leaving this. When I left that day, something, it just be as if my trachea, my windpipe just opened, fresh air. There is this joy. And let me even tell you, the calling of God does not debase. That is the highest call. Stop thinking you're going to,
And we need to stop preaching the gospel to unbelievers about the things they have to stop doing. Yes, we have to start showing them about the things they will get. Yes, that's how Jesus preached the gospel. Yes. He says the kingdom of God is like come to a man that has a wedding. And he went to call people and says, come, all things are what? Ready. That's how Jesus preached the gospel. In the book of Mark, you see him preach gospel like the kingdom of God is like unto a man that found a treasure. And for joy, he wants to sell all that he has to buy it. That's how we need to start preaching the gospel. Stop telling people, stop the smoking, the drinking, the wearing mini skirts. Master Jesus is coming now. That's not the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Is smoking, drinking good? No. But guess what? What they will get will influence the smoking. Yes, it will influence the smoking. Yes, it will influence the womanizing.
Yes,
but that's not the message. The message is receive eternal life. The same thing with the calling of God. Stop thinking that you're going to be poor because you are doing God's will. It might be hard to start with. Like you can see me now. I'm wearing shirt and trousers. If you see me with jets tomorrow and you are envious, God will punish you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stop thinking doing God's will is going to be at your detriment. Stop it. Open to Isaiah 51. Let me show you something. Isaiah 51, he says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the wall of the pit whence ye are digged. Verse 2. What did he say? Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and what? And blessed him and what?
Increased him.
The calling of God is unto increase.
Yeah.
It is. Somebody say, but not all pastors are rich. That's why you don't understand the concept of being rich and being blessed. We're not talking about money here. Money is just one of it. By the way, me, I'm going to be rich.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yes,
because guess what? I got to preach to the whole wide world.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to preach to the whole wide world, I got to get some money, bro.
Yeah.
I got to get on DSTV.
Yeah.
I got to get on TBN. I got to get my own code. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
We're going to have our own TV. We're going to preach to the whole wide world. And that's not going to take some leaf or stone, bro. That's going to take some good money in dollars. Dollars.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I got to be rich, bro. I'm gonna be rich. I'm gonna be stupendous. But I'm gonna be rich. Very rich. Exceedingly rich. When Christians were trapped in Afghanistan by the dictator, when the power changed hand, a man gave his jets. Not bike.
Jets.
A pastor, he gave his jet to go and rescue 5,100 Christians. Jets. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm talking of Kenneth Copeland. God bless you. That guy is a good guy. That's my man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It is hard. I shall know the Bible said that it is hard for a cattle to pass through. A camel. It's camel. It's not cattle. It's camel. For a camel. Go and read your Bible. See, that is a figurative expression. By the way, the eye of a needle is not the eye of this needle you are using to sew. The eye of a needle in those days is a small hole where they normally used to enter into the city. Once the gate is locked, because once it is 6 p.m., they will lock the gate, the main entrance. So the eye of a needle is that small place. So he's now saying it is hard for a rich man, all right? It is easier for the camel to pass through that place than because somebody will have to enter to remove it. Alright? And the context he's talking about, when he mentioned that statement, it was when that he told that young ruler to bring all that he has to sell it to the poor and follow him. He's just telling you that rich men, not rich Christians, rich men, rich people in this world, it is hard, they are attached, emotionally attached to their wealth. That's what he's teaching. Read your Bible well. You see this mic? Now money,
yes,
say you know.
Yes.
Money is not the root of all evil. Read your Bible. It is the love of money. And the word love there means inordinate affection. Do you understand what I'm saying? Read your Bible well and stop glorifying poverty. and poverty. Shut the trap. Lazarus was a poor man, but guess what? When he went into the afterlife, he went to go and stay in one of the small rooms of Papa Abi. And Papa Abi was a rich man on heart. And guess what? God never called himself Father God of Lazarus. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and he's a rich man. He liked to associate with rich people. Quit the nonsense theology. Quit that nonsense theology. And the rich man went well. It was not his wealth that took him. Otherwise, he was not as rich as Papa Abi. And Papa Abi is... Papa Abi did not have a room. He is he's called Bosom of Abraham. Babani, eh? Rich here on earth, rich in heaven. I go rich. Money comes now. Are you know what I'm saying? So stop this nonsense poverty theology. You may be poor now, but refuse to accept that that is your state. Yeah. God can change your state and bring you into your estate. You are catching them, are they preach? Yeah. All right. Hey, don't do it. All right. I have to. Time is gone already. Okay, let's just check this number four. God's call is the ground or basis for the anointing upon you to fulfill your ministry. See, when I see people saying, Lord, I want power. Listen, the reason for power, the reason for the anointing is for the ministry. These are facts you need to know about the calling of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, so I can sit down at home and feel myself. The Spirit of God is upon me, so that I can shake it in the house and prophesy to myself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So that what? To go and preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free. Can you see that? Because the Lord has anointed me. Why did he anoint you? Huh? To preach good tidings unto the meek, to set and bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim grace, the grace message, hallelujah, acceptable year of the Lord, that they are accepted in the beloved, that God loves them. That's why you are anointed. The anointing is not for you. So if you don't do your calling, the anointing is not helping you and it's not helping anybody. You are a bad child. Bad child. That's what you are. God anointed you. Guess what? The anointing cannot work for you. Anyway, I didn't talk it. The Bible said it. So I'm not forced the musician. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's why a preacher can be sick and is healing the sick.
Yes, sir.
It has happened to me when I was in university. I'll be feeling feverish on the bed. And people come and knock on my door. Pastor, somebody is sick in the fourth room. The person cannot move. I say, even me, I'm trying to move. I mean, Moses was weak. He was so weak. And they had to raise his hand. His hand was weak. He could not raise his hand. But those boys, Ur, and what is the other guy's name? Nanoge, go to children's church. Enter children's church, you will run. You are an adult. You have missed it now, you see. I don't forget the guy's name. There are two of them, Ur and H-U-R and one other guy. All right. They were holding the hand of, the man of God. And he was weak so that they would be winning in the battle. So you can be anointed. I mean, I will go and they will still carry me. I would just go there. I'll just say, I'm strong. I'll just wash my face and go there. Man of God, what is wrong with you? In the name of Jesus, get up. And the person will get up, will be healed. And me, I'm still sick. I'll still walk myself down. Because the righteous shall live by faith. Yeah. See, not by the anointing. Yeah. The anointing is for service. Yes. If you are not serving the anointing, it's useless. Yeah. It's not helping you, it's not helping others. That's why the master cursed that one that he gave one time I went to. He says, if you could have even dropped my thing in the bank, at least it would have yielded for me. So you this unprofitable, useless servant. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Then lastly, number five. I'll stop here. I still have like 4 pages, but let me stop here. What's that? The call of God attracts consecration and diligence. Ah, if God calls you and you know how to consecration and diligence to ram, only you and your family gonna say God call you. God called me. I saw myself singing like Sinach. Oh my God. I just knew it. But Riaza, you know they do. You get 20K. You've never thought in your mind that you need a trainer to help you train your voice. To you, voice training is too expensive, but you can wear Chinese hair. See, let me tell you, girls. See, let me tell you something. See, as I'm talking to you, I'm not feeling that I'm well read. I know they blew my trumpet. I'm very brilliant. The other time, I read wide. Or I'm not blowing my trumpet. You like say, why are you telling us? Well, Moses wrote the book of Numbers. And in Numbers 12, verse 3, he wrote it. He says, and now Moses is the meekest man upon the earth. He wrote the book of Numbers and he's writing about himself. So I tell you, I'm a brilliant guy.
Yes, sir.
All right? But let me now tell you, I just said that to say something. But today, I don't know the difference between Brazilian hair and natural hair and all this hair. I don't know the difference. My own is, if the hair is well combed and it's not smelling and the person is putting on nice cologne, I don't know the difference. You're just killing yourself. We are saving up for Brazil. Jesus is my Lord. See, today, I don't know what is Brazil. I don't know the... I've been asking people. There was a day a lady walked into my former place where I was working. I have to call one of my colleagues. I say, is that a Brazilian? Is that what they call? He says, no, that's not Brazilian. But he says, he's looking at this. This one is even low grade. This thing. I say, but it's fine. It's fine like that. Ah, Lord, give me a wife that will be cutting her hair. Praise God forevermore. So don't waste your money on that. Waste your money on purpose. Because if you waste your money on purpose, it is not a waste. All right? You say you have voice. They call you for audition. You are thinking, oh, worship the Lord. Well, you are not me. I have different keys. Consecration. Diligence. And God has called me to preach. They gave you assignments. Listen to tape. Summarize. You are dozing. And you say, God call you. Now they call the wakasu. That's why you see preachers who come and bamboozle people on pulpits. Every see, let me tell you, if you see a preacher every Sunday, a pastor every Sunday, every time, spirit is moving. Move, move. Spirit is moving. No message. Either a lie, did not study or learning. Na lazy man. It's just talking about. Or learning. Say, I'm a prophet. Every prophet is a preacher.
Yes,
New Testament prophet is a preacher.
Yes,
we are not just seers.
Yes,
we teach.
Yes,
we teach the counsel of God. And then when they finish prophesying, even when spirit is not talking, they start prophesying. God's word. I don't know any prophetic vessel on heart in history. That his prophetic mantle is strong like Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. Many people don't know, but Brother Kenneth E. Hagin is not a teacher. He is a prophet by calling. But he magnified the written word. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6, it says that we should not elevate any man above the written word.
Yeah.
Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 1:21, he says we saw him at the Holy Mount. We saw the glory. We saw the smoke. We saw the glory. He says, but... You understand English language, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. The Bible, the written word, the testimony of Christ. Give attention to doctrine. You can't build ministry around these things. Teach people the word. Let them learn to use the word for themselves. Nothing is anointed 24 hours. The word alone is. You can't carry the anointing for 5 hours. When that thing, I know what I'm saying. I'm not talking about this small anointing that. Kuluma. I'm not talking about that one. When the power of God I have experienced, when it comes on you, like. I'm talking, I've gotten somebody off from which, like raising the dead. That thing can't stay with you for one day. 5 hours, you weary you. But there's one thing that is anointed 24 hours, the word. Always anointed. Teach the word. Learn the word. Talk the word. Hiya. The world will respond to your words. Consecration. You burn candle. You study. Let me just stop here. Time is fast spent already. Let me just stop here. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man that is diligent in his work?" I heard a man of God mention one thing. He says, "God, give everybody the seed of corn." But God does not grow any man's church. Ah, kill it fresh. You have to work it. Ah. You know what I'm talking about now? There are many pastors pastoring church for 10 years, five people in the congregation. God has called me to pastor five people. He's a lazy man. Lazy. Stop that nonsense. God is not calling a pastor to pastor five people. So, 10 years, the committee people have died. Their children now have now become committee. All of them have died. So, no evangelist, no soul winning, no, nothing. That's why I've reduced posting some of our pictures of churches, because anytime I post pictures, you just say, "Inbox, you are doing well, man of God." I say, "What are we doing well?" I say, "We should start 3 services. Can't fill up. Let's buy up the hotel. Pack up cafe. You know?"
Yes, sir.
I'm tired of this small place. I'm saying, we are doing well, man of God. And then you too, your head is that swelling. We are doing well. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. How many people are in cafe? How many people are in your church? Let's meet on Saturday. Let's go aggressively. Win souls. Get people. Bring them to the kingdom. There are some pastors I know, they preach for just one service. Then they will use Monday to rest. I won't lay. Bracknett Copeland, 84, still preaching for 5 hours, teaching the word of faith. I still watched him on BVOV yesterday. Believer's Voice of Victory. Oh, then go watch me. Amen. See, let me tell you something. Look up. See, it is, somebody said, this guy is ambitious. Yes, it is being ambitious for a righteous cause. Yeah. I'm going to preach the gospel. Yeah. If you found God's assignment for you, strike it big. Don't go little. Strike it. Strike it. Strike it. Rise on your feet.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.